Hello, everyone. I'll let you guys get in here and get settled. We are going to be talking about holiday protocols today. And let me pull one thing up. I have a couple notes I want to make sure that I cover so that we are rocking and rolling for the holidays. How are y'all doing? Y'all let me know in the chat how things going. I did some coaching yesterday. It was so good. I'm just going to tell you. Sometimes when I coach you guys, I can just tell some shit is real. I'm just like, we did it. All right. Let me see who else here. Hello, Sherry. And I think it's Mar Dollar. That's a money name. Wish I had that name. All right. So we're going to talk about holiday protocols. And here's what I want you to know. Like, this is what I want to do today. So if you have questions about protocols, if you have questions about setting your holiday outcomes and stuff, go ahead and put them in the Q&A. I am going to promote, well, whichever coach is here, if you will raise your hand, I'll promote you. And then you can be a panelist. Hey, Betsy. And if there's anything in there that, like, it could be easily answered, feel free to answer it. But if you think it's something best that I answer here, just leave it there and I'll do it. This is what I want to talk about. So I teach holiday weight loss pretty uniquely than most people do. And I've been teaching it this way literally for years and years and years. I started teaching it this way before I went to life coach school, before I became a life coach, all the things. And so one of the things that I have always told my girls is, I don't care if you want to lose weight, gain weight, or maintain your weight, but you're going to decide what it's going to be for the holidays, and no decision is going to be wrong. And I know that's just like mind-blowing to some of you, but the reason why I teach it this way is because most of us will go into the holidays, oh my God, I'm going to lose weight, and then not even take into consideration that you are going to want to eat at your mama's. And that you may be like somebody who gets invited to 4,000 parties and you're going to want to eat at some of those and stuff. So it's going to be really hard to lose weight. So you may be someone who just wants to maintain. I would rather you set yourself up understanding what you want, what you're willing to commit to, and doing that so that at the end of the holidays, you're still planning, you're still committing, you're still thinking ahead. You're still very focused on being someone who does what they say they're going to do, no matter what it is. And that way, at the beginning of the year, you don't have to be like, I got to start all over and make a resolution and basically upheave your life in order to get started. That's why I teach it this way. So through the course and the workbook, I want you to think about, you know, what do I want to do? You know, like for me, I usually end up losing a little weight through the holidays because we don't go fucking anywhere. My family is all over the place. We don't go do all the dinners. We don't go and do all the parties. But if y'all know me, in the summer, that is when I'm willing to put on a little weight. I'm going to want to drink in Vegas. I'm going to want Diablo's nachos. I know me. But what I also know about me is that I make conscious decisions. I'm still planning, even if I'm planning to eat things like, let's just say, nachos on the regular when I'm in Vegas and stuff, I have the core habits in place. And so I can rely on myself to know, as long as I have the core habits in place, they can easily be translated into salads just as easily as they can be translated into planning for nachos. Just like for you guys, your salads, your soups, your healthy sandwiches, whatever it is that you do to lose your weight, can easily be translated, even if through the holidays you're planning like mama's pie and all the little things that are special. And that's the other thing. I want you guys to lose weight through the holidays if you want to. I want you to maintain through the holidays if you want to. And I want you to maybe even be okay with gaining 2 to 3 pounds through the holidays if you're going to travel a lot. I don't really care about that. What I want you to do is, I don't want you making food the enemy. I don't want you thinking you can't have things. I just want you to always know that you're in total control. It's always just decisions. You don't have to go back to fuck it mode ever again. You do not have to do those things. They're totally your choice. So I want you to just think about, realistically, what is it that I want for this holiday season? For me, I'm maintaining this holiday season. I spent my fall getting back into my normal weight range. I'm back there. I'm going to spend my holiday season enjoying my life, but I'm still going to be planning. And guys, and I plan with like a lot of love. So like we're going to have Thanksgiving at my house. I'm going to plan to enjoy some things. I probably plan to have a little more wine through the holidays because I'm going to be maintaining, but I'm going to be thinking about it. I'm going to be watching things. If I notice that if my weight starts ticking up and I'm not planning on gaining weight, guess what I will be doing? Thinking, oh, maybe I can't have wine 3 days a week. Maybe I just need to choose to have it too. I just want to make sure that my actions are in alignment with what I want to do. That's really the key. And I know that you don't hear this shit outside the tribe. Everybody's talking diets in a whole different way, but that is the thing. It's like, if we just focus on what we're doing, if we focus on making sure that what we're doing is aligning with what we ultimately want, everything comes out clean in the wash. Now, the holiday protocol, very similar. All this really is, guys, like I know you guys get so hung up on protocols. All a protocol is, hey, I just want to sit here and I want to think about the foods that I'm going to eat. And I'm not going to have butt-ass nuts like food rules. I'm not going to be a jackass to myself. I'm literally going to sit here and I'm going to put all the foods down that I want to be able to lose weight on. That's what your protocol is. It is the same with the holidays. So a lot of times what I have you guys do is rethink your protocol at the holidays, because for some of you, you may like some shit that comes streaming into the potlucks. I remember, I swear to God, I wish that I still knew Sandra to this day. There was this lady that I used to work with. Her name was Sandra. She, just a good Southern cook. She used to make the world's best fucking 7-layer salad, like with all the cheese, all the mayo, all the peas, bacon, egg, everything you think of. It was the most delicious ever. And every Christmas, I worked with her for like 4 or 5 Christmases. Whenever time potluck came around, I was like, you're going to make your 7-layer salad, aren't you? Like, I just beg her, like, make me one for my house. Oh, it was so delicious. Like, to me, if Sandra come rolling up in my life again, you better believe it would be on the holiday protocol. That I would be figuring out a way to add that in so that I could enjoy it because I like it. And because I'm enjoying it more frequently and I haven't decided this is a part of it, it may be like, that's more important than the wine. Like you get to decide. You get to put anything you want on here. And then just watch your results. And then you can be like, well, maybe I have to eat a little bit less of it to get my results. I still want it. Or maybe it's like, you know what? I had my fun. I don't know that I still want it. If it means I'm not going to be losing, or if it means I'm going to be gaining, whatever it is, you just get to decide those things. But guys, the key is you have to make like a conscious decision first. You have to throw away all your old rules and start with the rules that you want to be following, that you actually like. And then you just watch things and you tweak. That's really all a protocol is. And so at the holidays, yours may be a little different than it is throughout the rest of the year. Just like with me, there's way more drinking and nachos and french fries that ever go on my protocol and on my daily plans in the summer than what I would consider my fall one. In my fall ones, I just tighten up a little bit. You know why? Not because I can't have it or because I feel bad about the summer or anything. It's because like I chose to have it then and now I'm choosing this. I always orient my brain around what I'm choosing to do. And I think that's so helpful. My question is, I'm struggling with the everyday. How can I possibly lose weight during the holidays? Plan. Mar, raise your hand and let me coach you. Seriously, you need to like say this shit out loud. I hope you're somewhere where you can do it. Like, I love how you're like, I'm struggling with the everyday. You won't struggle if you have your plan. You're struggling because you think there are things that you can't put on your plan. All right, I'm calling on you right now. That'll teach you for asking a question. I'm so awful. Oh,
Lord.
Don't pray. He ain't coming to help you. Oh shit. You got to raise your hand again. Sorry. He tried to save you. And I'm not letting him. Raise your hand again. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. The Lord is saying, this is what you need. I got to figure out how to ask you to turn your video on. That's not happening. That's okay. Just start talking. Why is it? What is this bullshit I'm struggling with every day?
My accountability group on Marco Polo just told me today that I needed to get coached.
Well, so, they manifested your destiny.
Oh my God. I don't know why the video isn't working.
It's okay. Just
super weird. So as I've been sitting at home, working from home today, I've been struggling with Doritos. It's the stupidest thing. And I look at my plan. I'm like, they're not on my plan. I'm not having them today.
Why aren't they just on your plan then?
Because I said I wasn't going to eat Doritos this week.
Why? I want to know why. Why are we not eating Doritos this week?
I don't think eating Doritos is going to get me to a place where I can actually lose weight.
So have you been eating Doritos on plan and 2 of 2 for weeks and weeks and weeks and not been able to lose weight?
I have been eating Doritos for the last week, sometimes on plan, sometimes not on plan.
Oh, so it's not planned Doritos are the problem. So this is what we do. I want everyone to hear this. I need to just cut out and not eat Doritos this week because they're obviously a problem. They're not helping me lose weight. It's like, wrong. I'm eating Doritos when I don't plan them, and that's the problem. So maybe what I should do is keep Doritos in.
Okay.
Maybe plan them more often and take away the, like, I'm afraid of a bag of Doritos effect.
Okay.
So now you're just struggling and you're like having all kinds of urges. You took them away for the wrong reason. That's what I don't like. If you were to say to me, you know, I've been eating these planned Doritos and I really noticed that I'm not losing weight, I think I'm just going to back them out and see what happens. That's doing it from confidence and curiosity. Okay. You're doing it from, I'm going to punish myself because I obviously can't control myself around Doritos.
This is true.
Is Doritos the only problem?
Well,
I'm going to guess no, since that wasn't the automatic answer.
No, the other problem is I work at a candy company and we have unlimited M&Ms and unlimited ice cream and unlimited Snickers. And
you don't have that. You know, that's not a fact, right?
It's not a fact.
No, they're either on your plan or they're not. They're not unlimited.
Oh, so when I see them, I just walk by if they're not on my plan.
Yeah, but if you keep thinking they're unlimited and them being unlimited is a problem, guess what? You walk by and cortisol and adrenaline spikes through your system, making you panic and think they're a problem.
So how do I walk by and they're not a problem?
Well, first of all, you got to start describing them differently. Like when you say, I work around unlimited candy, how does that make you feel?
Like Willy Wonka.
Literally, how does it make you feel in your body?
Like I'm always going to be the chubby person on the team.
That's not a feeling, but that's probably like, that's what I want you to see. Like you're creating the candy and working at a candy place as a big problem. So you're sitting around with adrenaline and cortisol jacking through your brain and your body all day and wondering why you feel terrible around food and why you just start eating it. You will always eat if you're jacking yourself up. Your body will only, like you have two options with an urge. You have to take the anxiety of the urge away by either eating through it, or you have to take the anxiety of the urge away from not eating and learning how to change how you think about the food to begin with.
Okay.
Right now you're thinking about it in a way that drives adrenaline, drives anxiety, and drives cortisol so that it increases the percentages of times that you're going to eat in response.
Okay. So to try to mitigate that, I have been putting 3 mini Snickers on my plan every day.
Okay. That's great. Do you want them every single day?
Hell yeah.
I mean, do you literally, like, are you stopping to think through it? Or are you just like, they're on the plan, thank God, because I love Snickers.
No, it's like, It's 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I have Snickers on my plan this afternoon. At 3 o'clock, I'm having them.
Okay. So what if we stop thinking about it like that and we just start thinking, I will think about Snickers when it's time to think about Snickers. And then when you get there, you just say, I can have these three Snickers because I planned for them. Is today the day that I want to say no, or is today the day I'm going to say yes? And you just leave it really benign like that.
That's,
and there's like literally no right or wrong answer on that one.
I can't imagine saying, no, I'm not going to have them. What situation would that be?
The situation where you're like, you know what? I'd like to lose a pound this week. Maybe today I could just do without them. I can always have them tomorrow.
All right. So maybe
you can't even visualize a life where you don't eat candy just because you want it. Like, you can't even envision a life where sometimes, like, let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to cuss someone out?
Yes.
Did you just do it because you're like, I'm at the grocery store. This sounds fun. I want it.
Sometimes.
But all the time, like every time you're pissed, have you ever wanted to just slap someone as soon as look at them?
No, yes, but I have not done that.
Yeah, you resisted that urge too. There are, I'm pointing out that there are times in your life that you really want to do something, and there's a higher version of you who's like, you know what? I probably don't want to get slapped back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to like curb that one. Just like sometimes with the Snickers, I put them on there every day so that every single day, not so you can eat them, so that every single day you can question, is today the day I'm going to try sitting through not eating them or not? Like, I want it to be a trigger for you to be asking yourself, like, this is not about you just getting what you want. This is about you getting what you want long term.
Gotcha. Okay. So then that's a different way of thinking about it. So even though, I mean, salad's unlimited too, but I don't feel the same way about salad that I do about Snickers.
That's because you don't think Snickers, like, I'm going to guarantee you that if we take our thoughts about a salad, they're not going to be like they are with Snickers.
You're right.
Snickers are special. Like, you know, they're my pleasure food. Like, you probably have a lot of, all of you who love like anything you overeat, you probably like should do a little download on just my opinions on this food.
Okay.
And then take a look at it and just be like, are my thoughts about this food useful?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like with me and my nachos. I love them. I have them when they're planned. I only have them if they have the right kind of cheese. Like, I'm very picky about them. They have to be a special event. I don't just like willy-nilly eat nachos because they're there. But I decided that nachos don't control me. I have decided that when I'm going to have foods I like, I want it to be a true experience. I don't want there to be an emotional back end of me needing a coaching call because of it. Like, I want you to have the same relationship with candy, that when you have it, it's like an experience. It's not because you're just like, well, I can't imagine a life without it. I guess I'm just going to plan three Snickers and never get my dreams. You see how you're self-describing it?
Yes.
It's very different than the way I talk about nachos. Like, I talk about them like I love them, but I talk about them like they're special. And I look forward to the experience, and I make sure that I'm creating that experience by how I talk about them to myself. I never talk about, it's never going to serve any of you to talk about food like it controls you, because it ultimately doesn't. It may feel like it does, but at some point you have to always consciously decide to take your hand, get the food, and put it in your mouth. And that is how we know it can't control you. Food cannot just hop on in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really understand that you have to stop thinking like it's controlling you and it's just happening to you and it's everywhere and it's unlimited and like all of that is a way that we describe things that ultimately sets us up to thinking I'm helpless around it.
So then I'm really just kind of showing up like a victim.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And it's just candy. poor old Snicker. He's just like, fuck me, man. I'm like just trying to be like a little tasty delight sometimes.
Okay. So then when I have this choice, would you recommend that I go through doing a thought download or model on that?
One of the things that a lot of the girls are doing right now, I'm in the middle of literally rewriting No BS, and I was working, it's funny we're talking about this, because I was literally working on the urges, like keynotes and stuff, which is my presentation for you guys. One of the things that they're doing is they're doing a pre-urge worksheet, which they're literally just taking the recovery worksheet, mm-hmm. and they're doing it beforehand. So like before you eat, do the recovery worksheet first, to see all your thinking and stuff. You may still eat. This is not to do a recovery worksheet to excuse your eating. This is to do a recovery worksheet first to get aware of your thinking before you eat.
Got it.
Even if you eat, guys, anytime that you can sit there and get awareness first, like for me, that's like step one to learning how to end your impulsive binging, your overeating habits is, you got to be aware of what's going on in your head, because basically what we're trying to do is to not just be grabbing things and thinking that it's just happening. Mm-hmm. We want you to slow your thinking down so you can understand what you're thinking. Because a lot of times you don't even have to have shiny new thoughts. You don't have to have new belief systems or anything like that. If you just know what you're thinking, you're like, oh, no wonder I want to eat Snickers. If I think that I'm always going to be chubby girl and that there's an unlimited supply to be chubby all around me all the time. I mean, it's like, wow, no wonder I really want to eat it. I'm talking myself right on into it.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I get it.
Yeah. Your brain only goes where you direct it.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to start thinking more like my Southern California girl.
Yes. There's some sass in that shit, man.
Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. Thank you for just jumping in. Bye. All right, Mallory.
Hi.
Hey.
There
we go.
Oh, I'm excited. I wasn't expecting to be called on.
Yeah, I'm going to call on a few and just answer some questions. And it's all about recovery protocol and outcome for holiday shit.
Awesome. So my questions aren't so much centered around protocol, but certainly it's holiday stuff. I've been doing the handling the holidays workbook, and I'm not done with it yet. But I think in a nutshell, like my biggest question is, I have really kind of, as becoming an adult and being a mom and all of that, I've gotten to the point where I really don't enjoy the holidays as much as I used to because of all the things that come up, right? And I spent some time today writing down all of the things that I think about the holidays, and they're all really shitty.
You're not having a good time.
Exactly. And so I will say, in like models, this whole process, I really struggle with I know what I think right now, but I don't know how to turn that into like something that's going to benefit me or be a better outcome. So I have a bunch of things that I've written down on that.
Well, give me one.
So I think I used to love the holidays and now I don't.
What about, but I can figure out how to, or maybe it doesn't matter if I love them. I mean, why do you want to love the holidays? Why is this a bad thing? I don't love the holidays either, but I don't sit around in the shitter about it.
I don't feel like I sit around in the shitter about it, but like I think I've sort of like held the holidays on a pedestal for a long time because I always really loved them as a kid. And I think it's been sort of like disenchanting to become an adult and have to sort of manage.
Oh, so now you know what your parents went through.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just all about Santa Claus.
No. And so I think it's just been a shift there. And then, so for context, I have, I'm a stepdaughter. And so my husband's ex is around. So we have to manage, we just have a lot of families and people to sort of manage throughout the holidays. And I think that's a lot, really where a lot of my negative thoughts are really centered is like,
ask you about this managing. What do you mean managing them? You don't have to manage anyone. What if there's just people and things? What are you managing?
I am managing, and this is where my issue is, I am managing trying to make everyone happy throughout the holiday.
Right. So that's why that sucks, because you can't feel emotion for other people.
Exactly.
You're trying to do the impossible, which is, hey, I'm going to do a bunch of shit. And if you're not happy, I don't want you just be unhappy. I think that means I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I think like so if I'm like writing or doing a model or whatever, like on paper in my own head, I can be totally okay with like disappointing somebody. Like in my head, but then when it actually comes down to like delivering that message of like, no, I'm sorry. Like we can't, you know, come for Wednesday of Thanksgiving and Thursday and Friday. Like that's where like I sort of lose things is like, how do I deliver that disappointing message and then not like feel like shit about myself?
Well, you can either deliver a disappointing message and feel like shit, or you can not deliver the disappointing message and feel like shit.
True.
So I would just like feel like shit because I disappointed them and then work through my own mind later on about it while getting to do what I wanted to do rather than doing what I don't want to do and feeling like shit on top of it with no hope of feeling any different. The problem I think is like, that's one thing that's going on, but it's also whenever we're trying to make everyone happy and stuff, it's always a lie. I think the first thing you have to admit is I'm not really trying to make everyone happy. I'm trying to keep myself from feeling bad.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm feeling guilty.
Because it's really, well, it's not about their feelings. It's about your feelings. And really understanding that I'm not trying to do this. It's real easy to say I'm trying to make other people happy. But the truth of it is the only reason why you would want somebody else happy is so you can feel good.
Yeah.
Rather than just,
so I need to figure out a way to feel good without doing that.
Yeah. Or feel compassion. They're going to be disappointed. You don't have to be like, hey, we're not coming.
And then that's where everyone's happy
that we're not coming. It's like, no, we're not happy. Yeah. We hate you. Why are you not coming for 3 days? And then you just have compassion. It's like, of course they're going to be upset.
And
they're
not
what they want.
So like, do you have any suggestions for like how, so let's say I'm talking to you and you're the person that I'm telling, oh, I can't, you know, I'm sorry, like, we're not going to do this, whatever. Like, and I'm expecting you to be disappointed. But I think what I struggle with is like, how do I tell you that?
You tell them from a place of not being like,
because I think I'm like
you love
such them. A bitch in my head about this stuff that I feel like I feel like and I'm a very like direct communicator.
Well, it's because you're thinking this is going to be a confrontation. I'm fixing to disappoint you. You're going into it with, I'm fixing to disappoint you. And you're kind of coming from it like, and we're going to be confronted. Like, I know you're going to be disappointed and I'm going to have to work around just not caring about your feelings now. That is not what we're doing. But that's what I'm doing right now.
But I'm
right. That's what most of us are doing. Like, we think that's what we're supposed to do. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
It's like going in and saying, I know we're not coming, and then wait for their response. And in your head, you know, like they're either going to be okay or they're going to be disappointed. And it would be normal for them to be disappointed. And it's normal for me to not feel really good when someone else is disappointed. Like, it's okay for me to feel a little bad and I can't do the things that they want. Like, we can all feel bad, survive, not die or get pregnant over it. But when you come at it from that, that means that you'll walk in. I promise you, if you go in just thinking, you know what, we all might be disappointed. I don't really know how it will end up, but I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do for all of us. I don't need to be someplace that I don't want to be pretending I want to be there.
Yeah.
Because that's also lying. If I'm not willing to tell them my true thoughts, like if you're not willing to say like, of course we'll be there for 3 days, but I want you to know I'm going to like hate every minute of it. And I really don't want to be here. I would love to be anywhere else. If you're not willing to tell the truth, then tell the truth ahead of time. And that's what I usually try to get people to understand. It's like, you trying to save their feelings It's called lying to their face.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you had to go in with a thought bubble?
Oh my gosh.
You come in for 3 days, thought bubble and all exclamation points.
It would be, there would be some like really horrible looks on people's faces, I think. And I think that that's where, like, I think because I do have all these sort of like negative thoughts floating around in my head, then they're just sort of like becoming toxic for me, you know, instead of just being.
They will always be toxic for you. If you're sitting there thinking like, I can't be myself. Everybody needs to be happy. It's mm-hmm. like, that's not the way the world is set up.
Mm-hmm.
We're all supposed to feel disappointment and stuff, but the best thing you can do for people in your life and for yourself is to be honest. Not to be deceitful and try to manipulate and control their feelings so that you can feel like, well, I may be pissed that I'm here, but at least I didn't have to feel your disappointment. So you can manage your mind around feeling their disappointment without lying to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The holidays will get way more fun with more truth.
Yeah. I think I see that. I just have to figure that out.
I think for you, catching yourself when you say, I'm managing, I have to mm-hmm. manage things, that is going to be your red flag mm-hmm. that I am not being honest with people nor myself in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, actually, I use that phrase quite often, even outside of the holidays. I will say, like, for the first time, you know, I'm working through the workbook right now, but like, I was like, I haven't done all the work and I haven't figured this shit out yet, but like, I'm so excited about the holidays in that sense. Cause I feel like I finally have some like tools, I guess, to like try to figure some of this stuff out. Cause basically all this crap spins around in my head and then I get pissed and annoyed that like, we have to do all these things. And then I end up just like eating. Like my concern isn't so much like planning around the food. It's more managing my emotions. So I don't then want to lean on food, I guess.
I think one of the things that helps me is whenever I feel pissed or annoyed, I just ask myself, why am I feeling this right now? What's going on right now that's making me feel pissed? And it's always challenge yourself. It's something I'm thinking. It is not something outside of me. So somebody may be saying something and it's like their words are now your circumstance. And so like something you can just say in your head is like, they said this, I'm feeling this because I'm thinking what? It gets the focus off of the feeling that you're having in the moment. It gets mm-hmm. your brain kind of spinning on where do I have control rather than looking for a way to just get rid of the feeling. Most of us just kind of keep moving through the model like, well, I want to get rid of the feeling. So I'll eat. Mm-hmm. That's fast. Or just slow it down for a second and just be like, even if you can't find the thought, just say, I know that I'm pissed and annoyed right now because of something I'm choosing to think, even if I don't know what it is, not mm-hmm. eating over it because it's a thought and it's a thought is not worth eating over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
All right, Lainey. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Let me do a couple of questions and then we'll go back to some coaching. I have a goal with one of my accountability partners that we aren't going to weigh until we complete Beachbody's Morning Meltdown 100 workouts. Trying to stop having so much drama around the scale and find other ways to find results. I haven't weighed in since September and probably won't until January. What should be the decision for us regarding gaining, staying the same, or losing over the holiday? I would just make, this is a simple one. I would just take some goals like we're going to complete X amount of workouts through the holidays. Just take your actions and then attach like some completed numbers. Just try to make those the things that you track. So if you're going to like say, I will have this many completed 24-hour plans. I will have this many completed workouts, this many days off from the workouts. Like just come up with some metrics like that because it doesn't really matter. Like guys, I'm just going to tell all of you, you could never weigh. If you track your behaviors, if all of you put more focus on your action line, on your behaviors and stuff, you will lose more weight than if you were watching the scale. What all the scale really does, the scale is just a reflection of the behaviors. The scale says, these are either working, these need to be reexamined. Maybe you won't lose for 2 or 3 weeks. You just need to double down and stay committed, whatever it is. The scale is just implying for you to be looking at the action line. That's really all it is. Like, even when you're losing weight, I would much rather you not sit there and be like, yay, and get too excited. It's fine to be happy when you lose weight. I'm not saying that. But I would much rather what you do is immediately drop into, the reason why I had a loss this week is because I did these things, and I'm very excited about all the things I'm doing for myself. When you put all of your excitement and like your just your oomph and you, just your stuff, your emotional energy, when you put it behind how you're showing up versus just what happens on the scale, guess what? The weeks that the scale doesn't move, or the weeks that the scale goes up a little bit, you don't have a ton of, you don't just, you're not conditioning yourself to have emotional energy there. You have yourself conditioned to putting the emotional energy exactly where it should be, which is always in the behavior side. When I was losing weight, I've told you guys this story like a thousand times, is I just remember I was trying to get underneath 200. I had never worked out so much in my life. I was training for my very first little triathlon. It wasn't even a full sprint. It was like a mini sprint. And so I was, and of course, y'all know me, I've never been fast at anything. So if I had to do like a 3-mile run, I was going to be out there at least 45 minutes on top of being out there biking for like over an hour. I mean, like, never in my life had I even dreamed that I would exercise more than 20 minutes max, because I just never played sports or anything. So I'm like doing all the things, and I'm just eating so much better than I ever was. And that scale would not move. And it wasn't moving, not because I was being a jackass. It wasn't moving because my body was adjusting. And so for a few weeks, it just wasn't going anywhere. And I remember first couple of weeks, I was like, just high on life, training for a triathlon. It didn't bother me. By about week 3 or 4, it's kind of starting to get into the shitter. And so I remember this day, and I swear to God, I still remember standing in the bathroom. And it was like, I don't know, like the heavens opened. And I was like, oh my God, you cannot think terribly about the scale. You are doing, like, I had, like, I guess started talking nicely to myself just enough throughout the process to where my brain started its old chatter of like, you're never going to lose weight. This isn't going to work. I don't know what Betsy just did, but she's like interrupting the call. Betsy, behave yourself. But like all my fat girl thinking chatter came flying in, and it just hit me. And I was like, no, we cannot think that way. And I started telling myself all the things I was doing. Like, I was reminding myself of how hard I was working, and like, we can take a look at our food, but girl, you're doing so good. We have to keep going. I just remember thinking, we have to keep going. Next week will be better. And I still remember that. And that literally, that moment, like knowing what I know now from like coaching and the modeling stuff, came because so many times I started off with self-defeating talk, and I told myself, no, we're not going to think that way. I kept going even when I didn't want to. I kept doing things even when I thought I was the fattest and the slowest. I just kept doing stuff that I knew would one day pay off, because my intellectual brain knew that if I was eating healthier, paying attention to my food, and doing all those things, shit had to change. My intellectual brain knew it. My panicky brain and my old fat girl thinking habit brain did not know these things. My old belief systems did not know these things. But it took so many times of me renegotiating those conversations to the one day when it mattered the fucking most, when I was at the halfway mark in my journey, fixing to crest into Wonderland. It was the day that the scales tipped. It was the day that my brain stopped me dead in my tracks and was like, no, 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 we're now going to think this way. This is what we're doing. And it kept me going. And that's what I want to like say to all of you guys when it comes to doing this work, when it comes to the holidays and stuff, the reason why I harp on you like it's nobody's business to quit getting consumed with whether or not you should be eating things and like your stories around candy and stuff. Start thinking more about whether, I believe it or not, I'm going to start showing up a little differently for myself. I'm going to start telling myself a new thing before I believe it. I'm going to examine how I'm thinking and talking about stuff. And I'm going to pay attention and celebrate how I'm showing up for myself. One day it will matter. It will be everything. You will not know when your moment's coming. You will not know when there's that time when you're going to want to quit on yourself and you're like 20, 30 pounds in and you're so used to beating yourself up and you're this close to quitting, even with a lot of success staring you in the face. You have to keep telling yourself this stuff because that day will be the day where you'll be like, I think we can think better. And the moment that that switch happens, oh my God, y'all, it just starts getting easier. It just all starts getting easier, but you have got to go through your paces when it's not easy. This is not to say that you never have candy or Doritos or bad days or overeats or anything. You have all of it along with a whole new conversation and looking forward. That's what you guys have to do through the holidays, because what the holidays does is the holidays is like, all of our usual stressors, like we're going to have, you know, candy around more. We're going to have our foods around more. We're going to have all the things that tap on our insecurity of whether or not we can do this. This is why I teach you how to handle your holidays, because you need to be focused and at peace, and you have to have a sense of calm. You need to keep your planning in place so that when it comes January 1, you're not sitting there going, I'm going to start all over. No, I don't care if you don't lose a pound. I don't care if you lose 10 pounds. I don't care if you gain 4. I just want whatever you do to do it on purpose, because you kept planning, kept showing up for yourself, kept doing recovery worksheets. You never gave up. You practiced not quitting. You practiced moving forward. You kept listening. Guys, I'm going to be talking to you all through November and December. I am trying to figure out how much I can run my mouth. I have almost no travel. I've got 1 week of travel. Next week, I will be at High Performance Habits learning how to take what high performers do and make you high fucking performers in weight loss. Outside of that, I'm going to be in your ear until I fucking can't talk, if that's what it's going to take to get you guys to stay consistent through the holidays. Okay. I want to either maintain or gain a few pounds the month of December. I'm not sure if how I want to eat will make me maintain or gain because I've never done this before. How do I know what will happen? I have a protocol I wrote out. I just don't know what the outcome will be. I would just decide what you like, rather than thinking, I don't know what the outcome will be, just decide which one it is and then write a plan and then keep weighing in on every Friday. And if it starts creeping up and you're like, you know, I really would like to maintain, then just examine what you're planning and say, is there any tweaks I can make? If you're like, let's say you pick maintain and you notice it's creeping up a little, ask yourself, well, if I'm not willing to change anything, will I be okay with deliberately gaining a couple of pounds? As long as I've planned it every day, I'm not doing fuck it eats. I'm like really eating, like, because what I want y'all to do is plan what you want and stuff, but just be on purpose about it. Like if you want to have a meal where you overeat, let's say it's Thanksgiving. You're like, you know what? I don't want to eat to a 2. I would love to eat to a 3 or 4. I want to eat until I'm beyond satisfied, but not stuffed to my gills. Like you get to do that. I hope you all know this by now. If you want to plan to eat to a 4 where it's like, you know what? I'm going to be on the cusp of uncomfortably full, but that's what I want to do. I'd rather you plan that than to be like, I'm going to eat to a 2, like I'm going to have a little sliver of pie, and then you go in and be like, fuck this, this is all so good, I'll start over tomorrow. I don't want those thought patterns practiced. I want deliberate, on purpose, I'm a fucking grown-ass woman, this is the decision I'm making eating. That's what I want. And I don't want it in the spur of the moment. One of the things that you guys, I want you practicing through the holidays, this is the best time of year to practice a skill that will take you through all of 2020. And that is no spontaneous eating. I don't care how much you plan, but get really good at being like, you know what? If it goes in my mouth, it's because I had decided ahead of time it was going in my mouth. It is not because it looked good. I grabbed some. I don't want you doing any asshole eating for yourself. I want it all to be worth it, like legit worth it, without you suffering on the back end. That's not what the holidays are about. They're not about your suffering. All right, Laura, let's see what we got. I think Betsy was trying to like crash the party. She's like, I got something to say. Well, I can't tell if Laura wanted to come on or not. She must have lowered. Okay. Susan Hollander. Make sure, hey, everybody check your phone. Make sure your hand's raised on purpose. Well, Susan, I don't see you, but go ahead and start talking.
Hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I've never coached you, have I?
No, Betsy's coached me a couple times.
Awesome. Maybe that's why she was trying to crash the party. She just knew I was going to call on you. She was manifesting you. All right. How can I help you?
Okay. I have some circumstances this holiday. I don't want to say it's going to be difficult. It's going to be totally different than it's ever been for us.
Okay.
My father-in-law passed away a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
My mother has moved away. My sisters have all moved away. And my nieces are choosing to be with their in-laws for the holiday. So this holiday, it's going to be, there's six in my family, and my son might be with his girlfriend.
Okay.
So I'm trying to come up with models where I feel my goals are to be calm, happy, and I want to have love this holiday.
What are you feeling now?
Right this moment, nervous. But
no, I mean, just about like, so what is the circumstance? Who's going to be at the holiday?
My mother-in-law that I don't get along with. And
you know, my children, that's a thought too, right?
My mother-in-law. My mother-in-law and my children and my husband.
The only reason why we don't get along with someone is because we choose not to get along with them. Somebody can literally throw a flaming shit bag at us. We do not have to receive it and smear it all over ourselves.
Correct.
I'm not going to coach you on your mother-in-law, but I want you to take ownership that if we're having problems, that's because I am choosing to accept the flaming duty bag. I'm like, thank you for bringing it to me, mother-in-law.
And I just did the relationship course.
Do her again.
I failed it. I'll go back.
So it's going to be our mother-in-law. Who else?
My husband and my children.
Hubs and the kids. Okay. And your current thought is this is going to be different.
Correct.
But that's you coaching yourself, right? What's your like real thought? Because you originally wanted to go to difficult.
Oh, this is going to suck. And I just want to jump right to January 1st.
Even better. I like that. That's honest, right?
Yeah.
Why is it going to suck?
We're alone.
We're alone. Do you want to feel all those things, or do you want to be a little sad it's different this year?
Sad that it's different.
The reason why I
want to be happy.
Yeah, but do you really want to be happy that everybody's going off to do new things?
No, but I want to be happy with the people that are here.
Okay, so that's two different models. This is the reason why I'm pulling this out for you. I think you have one model of we're alone that you need to work on, where you can be like, I'm not alone. I still have these people. That's the model where we can have love and peace and happiness and stuff, like refusing to think we're alone. You're not alone. You have all of these people still around. You're only going to be alone, though, if like your thought is, like, we're alone, and that feels what? sad or?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Alienated.
Alienated. Where is that coming from? That's a different thought. Where alone doesn't drive alienation?
My mom moving with my sister. Mm-hmm. And then my other sister going, well, we're not coming back to Ohio anymore. Like, why not? We're still here.
So they're just not choosing you.
Correct.
Yeah. This is what I want you to, you've got a lot of models. You do. But that's good though. You want to work all the models. You don't want to just work one. Cause what happens is you're wanting to feel really good about the holidays while you have, we're alone. They're not choosing us. All of that going on under the surface. You will never choose happiness and stuff until you're like, they're just like, do you think they're really trying to alienate you or do they just like Florida? I'm going to tell you, my mom ain't coming in December either. And I know she loves the fuck out of me.
I really think this was their dream. They retired and this is where they wanted to go. They wanted to be with their daughter. And my mom is ill and there was no choice but for her to go with them. And then my other sister, she just lives. My other sister is just with her family.
But you don't believe that. You still think she's alienating you too. So your mom is ill and in Florida. Like, I want you to see, like you just told me the rational version of what's happening there. They're living their dream. Their dream is not to be in Ohio. My dream is not to be in Ohio. I wouldn't.
My dream is not to be in Ohio.
I mean, well, you don't even want to be there. And you're like this. I don't want to be here, but all you bitches come back up here and have Christmas.
Or at least invite us to come with you.
Invite yourself. Why didn't you just say, hey, we're coming? Probably because you're too busy thinking that they should be coming up there or they should be inviting. They should be doing things. Where are you taking ownership at all in this relationship?
Well, the one sister we have invited ourselves and she's like, well, this isn't a good time.
Well, maybe it's not. Then say like, well, when is a good time? We'll plan that. I want to get you on my calendar. I love you. It's really hard though to come up with those. I'm going to just tell you, like y'all all are like, oh my God, Corinne, how do you come up with so many good ideas? Cause I'm not sitting there thinking, well, they must be alienating her. They probably don't really like her that much. Like I don't have the drama in my head at all that you do. So that when your sister says no, you go back to see, it's never a good time. They're alienating us. They just choose other people over me. And when that's the story and it's not what's really happening, which truth is all, you get to make the truth up all along the way. The problem is your truth you're making up hurts. What is your real name?
Belinda.
Belinda. It just says Belen. So I didn't
want to call it. I go by Belen.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. I don't want you telling a truth that hurts you. I want you to tell a truth that helps you invite yourself to see your sister, to say like, you know, I just really love you. I want on your calendar. I don't care when it is. Just tell me. Let's figure this out. And if she's like, yeah. And if she's like, it's a hell no, just never come visit me. Well, at least you know how she really thinks rather than creating a story that she doesn't want me there. It's never a good time.
You sound like my husband. You're filling in the blanks. You don't know what the blanks are.
It's another one of those times where I was talking to our last caller or caller before. Tell the truth when you talk to someone. If she says now's not a good time, if you're not willing to say, that's because you're alien. I like keep thinking you're alienating me and you're not choosing me and you just don't want to come back up to Ohio, even though I hate it. If you're not willing to tell all that, you shouldn't be willing to tell it to yourself either.
Okay. Well, I have lots of time to work through all these models before the holiday.
Each one, take them all separately. But the biggest one I want you to see, you're not alone. You're choosing thoughts that are making you feel lonely. Where can I look at my same situation and feel included, feel love, and compassion? How can I do that? How can I write that story? Just allow yourself to write that story. If you want to feel alone and alienated, I guarantee you those thoughts will be sitting there like a cozy little wubby waiting on you. That's the funny thing about our shitty thoughts. They don't go far.
Can I work with just like a TDL painting a different picture?
Yes, you can. So what you can do is you can take the story you're telling yourself now. Like I would just take different scenarios. So you have the one sister story. You have the mother-in-law story. You have the mom and the sister that lives in Florida story. You also have the story of you, the mother-in-law, husband, and the kids that are going to be here. Story you're telling yourself right now is we're going to be alone. I'm going to be alone. Rather than telling yourself the story of I can love the hell out of them while working on loving everyone else and recreating those stories. But a lot of times, you don't even have to practice new thoughts and stuff. You just kind of sometimes have to see what you're telling yourself, tell it a new way. And when you open the door to your brain that there's another scenario, it starts looking in. It gets real curious what's going on in the next room.
Okay. So if I start changing all of that, mm-hmm. and start writing that of how I want the holidays to be, it'll be easier to stick to my plan and my protocol and not just say, ugh, throw it out the window. It doesn't matter. I'm all alone.
Right. You won't be throwing it away because you're all alone. Now, I'm not going to tell you that cookies and popcorn and whatever's coming along the way, like all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, that all looks like trash now. I have no urges. You'll have urges, but you won't be eating it because you're lonely. You'll have urges and you'll be able to think, you'll have the bandwidth to think about your goals because you won't be feeling so bad that you need to feel better and throw away your goals. That's how it works. It doesn't make the urges necessarily easier. It just gives you enough emotional bandwidth to actually sit through them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I will be able to practice saying, this isn't going to make me feel included. It's not going to make me feel any closer to them where they're at.
My thoughts will do that. And here's the thing I want you to practice that I think not enough of us do. Like, I'm going to love my mother from afar, but on Christmas, I'm for sure going to miss her and be sad. And not because I think it's wrong, but just because I do love her. And I would like to be with her. And that's okay. Like just admitting, like, I'm a grown ass woman and I still like my mommy. I would like to be with my mom. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing like I'm going to tell you guys, I cried almost all day today. I've had one of those days. I just woke up. It was just a day. I literally have cried 4 times before this call. I told Chris, I was like, I've got to go put makeup on again. Like I have put so much makeup on because I've cried through so much makeup. And I just told myself, of course I would cry over stuff like this. Like I'm thinking these thoughts and I'm crying over, like I'm crying. I was crying about my son and I was like, I'm crying about the person I love the most in the world. I'm not going to like sit there and need a ding dong and a glass of wine to cope.
But sometimes you think that.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes we just have to like say, like, I don't want to change my thoughts. You know what I want to do? I want to miss my mother. The holidays are different. I'm used to her being here. My brain is freaking out. It's okay. We can have a good cry, but I can also still love these people in the process. I can have two things at once. I can have sadness and missing someone and not think that it's wrong the way it's happening. Just, I don't have to like it. I also can love the people who are here and not disregard them because I can't have this.
And I think that's the balance.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I don't have to pretend to be happy. No. I can just be sad, get it over with, and then enjoy.
Yeah, it's normal. We're not supposed to be happy all the time. Those of us who try to be happy all the time and stuff are the ones who are eating and usually the saddest, because what we do is we trade the sadness where we actually want to experience for the sadness of not reaching our weight. It's a very convenient thing to get sad over because it's not as emotionally hard as missing your mother. It's easier to be upset over a cookie.
True. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing that for 40 some years.
Yeah. And now we don't practice anymore.
No, we're practicing.
We got so good at it that we can retire it. I'm going into retirement. See you later.
Yes. All right.
That's a good call.
See you in April.
All right. Yeah. I was just talking to Paula today about April. All right. See you later, babe.
Bye.
Okay. One more question and then we'll get out of here. I am sweating like a hog. I don't know why I wear thick sweaters. It was cold earlier, but now I'm dying. On the holiday weight outcome sheet, question. Here's how I will practice these thoughts. Can you give some examples? One of my thoughts is, it's just weight loss. Why are you making it so hard? That's one. The best way that I know to practice new thoughts, number one, is to create sticky notes of the new thoughts that you want to have and strategically place them in places. So, like if you have a wallet and you go to the grocery store, you can open your wallet and be like, oh, there's that thought I'm practicing. You can put one in the car. You can put one in your bathroom. You can put one just in your makeup drawer. If you have a journal, like this is my work journal, you can put a sticky note in there for the next day, or you can just write it on the piece of paper. I love the idea of you guys having a thought that you're going to, like if you're practicing it, you rewrite it every single day. Like if it's something that you truly are looking towards changing. You also get very aware of the thought that you're trying to replace. And so you pay a lot of attention. So anytime that thought comes up for you, you're like, and I'm also working on believing this one. And you just get really good at, like, rather than getting frustrated, which most of you do, is like, I get so frustrated because I keep thinking this thought. And it's like, yeah, because you're sitting around bitching about the thought, not saying, here's my thought. I don't know what your other one was, but it's just weight loss. Why are you making it so hard? Like your thought is like, this is so hard probably. In fact, I would maybe finesse this. This is more like a question and it's may not get you a ton of questions. Like if you're asking it, like how am I making weight loss harder on myself than it needs to be? Like in your journal each day, and you can list some things and say like, okay, so how can I make these things easier? That would be really good. But if you're kind of like bitching at yourself about like, why are you making weight loss so hard? What I would say is like, it's just weight loss and I'm figuring it out. Like I'm figuring out how to make this easy. I like to use words that will, like when I'm practicing a new thought, that take my brain to where I want to go, not to where I don't want to go. And also using questions like that, only if you're going to also like get some traction, like what are the ways that I'm making it hard? Why do I think I'm trying to make it hard? What things am I believing about myself? And you do that with an overall thought. Like I'm going to ask these, it's almost like, let me show y'all. So it's like in the model, the questions are down here. Questions I ask myself. Questions I ask, like journal. So that's where all of them, that is the worst way to spell journal. That is where all of that comes into play. And it comes from a thought up above it. So like if I'm going to ask myself, like, you know, what is it that's making weight loss hard for me? Like what are the things I'm thinking? What are the things I'm doing? It's coming from a thought of, I want to figure this out. Like I'm worth uncovering the little things. It's just something along those lines, because what that does is it makes you curious. It makes you want to look at things from a lens of like, rather than like being demeaning towards myself, I want to empower myself to kind of dig in and see what's going on so that it can be like, oh, no wonder it's hard for me to lose weight this week when I'm thinking I should be eating these things and blah, blah, blah. And then you come up with, well, if I quit thinking I should eat these things and I start thinking it's just choices. That's all it is. There's no shoulds. Like, you start like uncovering different things. Okay. All right, guys, that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back. Let me look at the calendar so you guys will know. Oh yeah, the purse size planner's out, guys. I believe somebody told me that we've let y'all in on ordering purse size planner. So if you want it, just know there's no thought download model pages in the purse size planner. It's just the journal itself. The big one has all the thought download pages in it. Let's see. I will see you guys at the Recovery Worksheet Lab on Thursday night. This is our very first one. So what this is going to be is I will be coaching and taking people who want to work on their recovery worksheets. So you need to bring them. You need to bring like what you're learning from them. This is not a call for you to raise your hand and be like, I don't know what I'm doing a worksheet. No. This is for the people who are already doing their worksheets, who are damn determined to solve their overeating. If you're not doing your recovery worksheets, feel free to come to the call and listen to what we learn, and maybe that will inspire you to do recovery worksheets. But this is specifically for the people who are like, girl, I am doing my sheets. Here's the shit I'm learning. Or maybe I'm stuck on this. I don't really know what this is telling me. I am going to help you guys with that. And then I will also see you guys on Saturday. So I normally do coaching on Sunday, but I'm flying to Phoenix on Sunday for my week-long training from 9 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. Y'all pray for me. I will be doing a call with Kathy Hartman at 10 a.m. on Saturday. This is going to be all about our three-day relationships transformation weekend that we're doing together. So we're going to be taking, like, if you have an issue with your relationship with yourself, your relationship with someone else, maybe your boss or something, or your husband, your spouse, your partner, a child, this weekend is going to be all about what relationships are, transforming them. We're going to talk about unconditional love, lovability, the manual, like the rules we have for people, kind of uncovering those and breaking down those barriers. So Kathy and I will be teaching it together in March, but we are going to have a call on Saturday about it. So if you're thinking about coming or wanting to come or whatever, feel free to come to that call. It's 10 a.m. Central Time. Then at noon, there is coaching with me. So we are going to do weekly planning first. We're going to go through, I'm going to take you guys through my weekly plan specifically because I'm going to be out of town. The conference is providing lunch, so guess who has no clue what will be on the menu? Me. So I will be teaching you, what do you do when you don't know when you're going to be eating? What do you do when it's, I'm going to tell you, Brendan Burchard, I've been to his stuff. He runs late. Do you pack snacks? Like, how do I plan for all this? Will I be exercising? All of it will be in the first 30 minutes of the call, and then we will do open coaching right after that. Everything is on the calendar on the website, pnptribe.com. Look at the calendar. If you haven't downloaded the calendar recently, go in and re-download the calendar because we changed our call times for this month. For the next couple months, we're kind of on our winter schedule now for the East Coast and stuff. So all of these calls are going to happen on Saturday, not on Sunday, since I will be in midair and nobody needs me on Southwest trying to get the Wi-Fi going, like trying to do a Zoom call. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.